Part 3, Chapter 4. The mighty planet Cyclo, king of the galaxies, basked beneath the forceful rays of triple suns. The courier stood to the side of Intergalactic's transshipment receipt area, waiting. Above him, the mauve skies domed the purple hillsides of the horizon. All about him spread the smoke-spewing factories, the power lines, the tense and crackling might of the company. Machines and vehicles boiled in purposeful turmoil throughout the multi-layered roads and plains of the vast compound. In the distance lay the pyramidal shapes of the Imperial City. Spotted among the outlying hills were the compounds of many other companies, factories that spewed out their products to whole galaxies. Who would be elsewhere? Thought the courier. He sat astride his small ground-go, momentarily idle in his daily rounds, waiting. Who would want to live and toil on some forgotten light-gravity planet, wearing a mask, working under domes, driving pressurized vehicles, digging in alien soil? Or drafted, fighting some war on territory nobody cared about anyway? Not this Cyclo, that was for sure. A shrieking whistle pierced the day, the warning signal to get clear of the transshipment receipt platform, chasing away a fleet of blade, brush, and vacuum vehicles that had been clearing it. The courier automatically checked his own proximity. Good. He was outside the danger area. The network of lines and cables about the platform hummed. Then they shrieked into a crescendo that ended with a roaring explosion. Tons of ore materialized on the platform surface, teleported in an instant across the galaxies. The courier gazed through the momentarily ionized air. Look at that. The incoming ore had a crust of whitish substance overlying it. The courier had seen it before from time to time. Somebody said it was called snow. Trickles of water took the place of the flakes. Imagine having to work and live on a crazy planet like that. The all-clear signal sounded, and the courier gunned his ground-go forward to the new ore heap. The receipt foreman rumbled out to the new pile of ore.
Look at that,
said the courier.
Snow.
The receipt foreman had seen it all, knew it all, and held junior couriers in contempt.
It's bauxite, not snow. It had some snow on it when it landed.
The receipt foreman scrambled over to the right side of the pile and fished around. He brought up a small dispatch box. Standing on the ore, he noted the box number on his clipboard and then brought it over to the courier. Blade vehicles were charging in on the new pile. The receipt foreman impatiently handed the clipboard to the courier, who signed. The box was thrown at him. He threw back the clipboard and it caught the receipt foreman on his massive chest. The courier gunned his ground go and swiftly threaded his way through the incoming machines, speeding toward the Intergalactic Central Administration compound. A few minutes later, a clerk, carrying the box, walked into the office of Zaffin, junior assistant to the deputy director for secondary uninhabited planets. The office was little more than a cubicle, for space at Intergalactic Central housed 300,000 administrative personnel. Zaffin was a young, ambitious executive.
What's that box doing wet?
He said. The clerk, who was about to set it down among papers, hastily withdrew it, got out a cloth, and dried it. He looked at the label.
It's from Earth. Must be raining there.
Typical,
said Zaffin.
Where's that?
The clerk tactfully hit a projector button, and a chart flared on the wall. The clerk shifted the focus, peered, and then put a claw on a small dot. Zaffin wasn't bothering to look. He had opened the dispatch box and was sorting the dispatches to different departments under him, zipping an initial on those that required it. He was almost finished when he held up a dispatch that required some work and couldn't just be initialed. He looked at it with distaste.
Green flashed urgent,
said Zaffin. The clerk took it apologetically and read it.
It's just a request for information.
Too high a priority,
said Zaffin. He took it back,
Here we have three wars in progress, and somebody from... where?
Earth,
said the clerk.
Who sent it?
The clerk took the dispatch back and looked.
A security chief named Turl.
What's his record?
The clerk put his talons on a button console, and a wall slot clattered and then spat out a folder. The clerk handed it over.
Turl,
said Zephon. He frowned, thinking.
Haven't I heard that name before?
The clerk took back the folder and looked at it.
He requested a transfer about 5 months ago, our time.
Steel trap brain. That's me.
And he meant it. He took the folder back.
Never forget a name.
He leafed through the papers.
Must be a dead, dull place, Earth. And now a dispatch with wrong priority.
The clerk took the folder back. Zephon frowned.
Well, where's the dispatch?
On your desk, Your Honor.
Zephon looked at it.
He wants to know what connections. Numph? Numph?
The clerk worked the console and a screen flashed.
Intergalactic Director, Earth.
This Turl wants to know what connections he has in the main office,
said Zephon. The clerk pushed some more buttons. The screen flashed. The clerk said,
He's the uncle of Nipe, Assistant Director of Accounting for Secondary Planets.
Well, write it on the dispatch and send it back.
It's also marked confidential.
Well, mark it confidential,
said Zephon. He sat back, thinking. He turned his chair and looked out the window at the distant city. The breeze was cool and pleasant. It dissipated some of his irritation. Zephon turned back to his desk.
Well, we won't discipline this... what's his name?
Turl.
Turl! Just put it in his record that he assigns too high priorities to nonsense. He's simply young and ambitious and doesn't know much about being an executive. We don't need a lot of excess and incorrect administration around here. You understand that?
The clerk said that he did, and backed out with the box and its contents. He wrote into Turl's record,
Assigns too high priorities to nonsense. Young, ambitious, and unskilled as an executive. Ignore further communications.
The clerk grinned wickedly in his own little cubicle as he realized the description also fit Zephon. He put the answer to Turl's dispatch on it in a precise, clerkly calligraphy and didn't even bother to file a copy. In a few days, it would be teleported back to Earth. The mighty, imperious, and arrogant world of Cyclo hummed on.